I'm Isander.
And I'm Coda.
And today we're going to be talking about the one, the only, Caiaphas Kane, baby. Yeah, unlike Kane, which this is not typical for him, he lost.
He lost?
Actually,
oh,
no.
Oh, yeah, he did lose.
No, this is very Kane. He lost the first time, won the second time inadvertently, and came out in second place perfectly fine, as the hero of Imperium should every single time. So we are going to be all aboard the Kane train
today.
The
Kane train.
Oh, yeah. There's so many fun alliterations to his name.
It's so upsetting, though, as we learned in the Patreon episode, mm-hmm. that his book series is not called the Kane Chronicles.
It's the Kane Archive, technically. Technically.
They're the Kane Chronicles in my heart. And
of course.
If anybody at Games Workshop is hearing this right now.
Oh, please. Make it please, omnibus and like have it be the Kane Chronicles.
Please change the name. Thank you.
Before the Kane train leaves the episode, and we talk about the greatest hero in the Imperium, a man so good at his job, space marines have recognized him for it. That is not a joke, by the way. Kane's genuinely competent. We have to keep the lights on, and that is by giving you a bonus episode. You already mentioned it earlier, but every time somebody wins a poll, they get a second episode, and it goes up on Patreon. And Amberlee Vale and Jurgen both got one, and the only way to see that is by heading over to patreon.com/IsanderandCoda, or by clicking the link in the description where you can help us keep all these lights on and get access not just to that bonus episode, but like 50 now. It's a year's worth of content just there.
It's a lot.
Oh, yeah.
It's a lot.
I see all of you commenting. I'm starting at this video. Let's see how far I get. And then you catch up to the modern ones. Well, there's way more, actually. Twice as much. And it helps us keep all of these on while also giving you a bunch of other perks. Access to the Discord, monthly community streams. You get to participate in the polls with priority voting. It just goes on and on and on.
Which one of those community streams should be coming up real soon now.
It's actually happening today.
Yeah.
So that is happening. And if you want to get in on that, make sure you head on over. Also, we're down to two now. It's the Abhumans and the Dark Eldar, and that is it. You know what to do. Make your voices heard in the comment. The winner takes it all. The loser standing small.
They go off into the void somewhere where we might cover them. Maybe later.
Beside the victory, I think it's their destiny. They get to decide it.
Maybe they get brought up again in a year and we've forgotten that they've lost a couple times.
Possibly.
Maybe.
Who knows? What does matter is, before we start, a massive, huge spoiler warning for every Kane book. All of them. Let me just get ahead of that. They are good. They are fantastic. I do recommend you read them because the writing is on it for them. I don't recommend you binge them, though, because...
You should sit there and savor them.
No, there is a cycle...
So you shouldn't savor them.
You described it perfectly. There's a cycle to Kane's life that repeats itself over and over again, and the books were not published one after the other. There was a break. There's quite a bit of space between them sometimes. So it's one of those things where you want to have them on the back burner, read a book, go there, go back to depression, go there. You know, because 40K books get real, real dark.
For context, in the Patreon episode, I'd mentioned that it's really good to have these lighthearted books in the 40K universe, just because it gives you a good lighthearted break. It's not like a Marvel movie where you're getting a quip every half second, but it's good to sometimes give you a little bit of a break from all of the heavy subjects that 40K seems to cover in its daily
yeah.
routine. And also it's good to get like a really nice, not completely grounded, because Kane is still a commissar, but it's good to get like a look into the daily life of an Imperial citizen and see why do they keep going in this awful, horrible, oh God, I want to die universe.
I will say, of all the commissars, Kane is probably the most grounded of the bunch, but we will get to that later. Before we get to that, we have to look at the wider picture here. To quote Shakespeare, some people are born great, some achieve it, and others have greatness thrust upon them. Kane has construction equipment dumping it on him everywhere he goes. There's nothing he can do to stop it. He's a commissar, and he's been titled Hero of the Imperium, and by his own admission, he is a coward. He does not deserve half the titles and accolades, and every decision he makes is made through the schema of how do I get out of this alive with my reputation intact. And that is the way he will tell you the story. However, if you look at it, he's not as bad as he would lead you on to believe.
He's not awful.
Well, I'll be fair. Inquisitors describe him as a pathological liar. So he's not great. But if you look at the events that transpire in his life, it's not just luck that got him there, and it's not just cowardice, though those two things do pop up quite a bit.
But he could be quite worse.
He didn't want the current life he has of being in the front with the battles as a hero of the Imperium. He would much rather be a commissar in a quiet place doing paperwork and sipping tea. He does not want the suicide missions that he gets assigned on a very regular basis. And I mean, this even started from the very beginning, because when he left his commissar school, commissar college, he got to pick his, you get to pick where you go. And he was like, oh, perfect. I'll go to the artillery division because they're very far away.
They're in the back firing mortars at the enemy from a distance.
Yeah, exactly.
I cannot stress this enough. From a distance, please get me away from them.
And that is where he went, because if he's of the personal opinion that the Emperor probably has a divine will, but he's so busy being a lighthouse that's duct taping the entire galaxy together. Is his will really looking at me? Which is a very fair assumption. So
listen, Sauron's eye is probably pointed that direction. Yeah, I'm so unimportant.
I don't have the One Ring. He's not looking at me. And so he will focus on himself sometimes and try and get himself through it, because he's like, listen, I'm sure the Emperor does a lot. That Celestine chick, she keeps coming back. That's great. I don't think I will get respawns. So I'm going to try my best not to die. And if I get a respawn, that'll be a happy little accident. So he gets assigned to artillery. And it's great. Until the artillery gets run over by Tyranids. And he has the brave and tactical idea to run away and reassess the situation from a different angle.
Run away.
Which he does. He does do. And bumps into another hidden arm of the Tyranids.
Yep.
By the time the story gets back to the people he fled from, it is instead reframed as a daring scout mission to discover this flank happening by the Tyranids that would have certainly killed us. Thank God for Commissar Kane discovering this and single-handedly killing a Hive tyrant with his chainsword.
He's the epitome of that one meme featuring Michael Scott getting praised for something that he didn't know he did.
That's Kane in that moment. And to be fair, he did kill one with his chainsword. That's still impressive. However, that was not the plan. He would much rather have just left right then and there. And this keeps happening in all of his life. A riot breaks out in his regiment, and he lets the military police go deal with it first while I assess the situation. You guys go and handle it. And one of them, as this riot's fully breaking out into violence, shouts, please, Commissar Kane, help us! And like a cartoon, everyone turns and looks at him. Because he does have a reputation. And it is Caiaphas Kane, hero of the Imperium. What will he do in this situation? And internally, he's just swearing up a storm, because now he can't slink away. Everyone knows he's here, and his reputation will be destroyed. So instead, he uses it to his advantage and intimidates the situation down from the full-bore riot that it is. And by the time this story makes it back, it is Kane single-handedly turning the tide of a whole riot, all alone, without a single shot fired. And this just keeps happening over and over and over. He gets into a fight with a bunch of the Tau. His original plan was to talk to them, because
he knows they're the only people who are going to talk back.
He is a commissar. He does have access to information that most Imperial people don't have. He knows that they'll probably talk back. His friend doesn't and starts a fight anyway. And and Kane manages to talk his way out of it, truly. And by the time it gets back to people, he routed a mob single-handedly. And this just keeps happening over and over and over. All his life, it is this cycle of Kane doing something to preserve his own existence, it putting his existence in more peril and his reputation in more peril. So he has to actually figure it out and then solve it, which then leads to him getting praise, which puts him on more dangerous missions that he then tries to run away from, that puts him in a more dangerous situation that he then gets out of. And it's just this death spiral over and over and over.
It's more like this luck spiral. Oh my God, he keeps going up.
And every time it happens, every single person goes, well, he's the hero of the Imperium. He just beat that by himself. We need to send more his way. And Kane's just, please.
Have you ever seen someone fall upward harder?
It is. It is falling upward. However, it's not through lack of skill either. He did make it to being a commissar. Commissar school. The problem with commissar school, and it's called...
I love commissar school.
It's called the Schola Progenia. It's a whole thing.
No, it's called commissar school now.
It's not just commissar school, too. Sisters go there. The Tempestus. Like, a lot of very, very hardcore things come out of there.
It's commissar college.
Yeah, commissar college. It's commissar college. The problem with commissar college isn't its acceptance rate, which is really low. It's its survival rate. You have to be fairly impressive to make it out of commissar school. And one of my favorite things about it is, because it's like psychology, it's warfare, it's, you know, survival skills.
It's a little bit of everything. You need to know a lot. Yeah.
Football. Because, you know, you got to play something during recess. And the reason I love Kane so much is we get his perspective on it. And he mentions how the Sisters of Battle, whenever they'd get into these games, they'd be less concerned with, like, scoring points and just focus on beating the piss out of anyone. Like, you would go to try to score a goal, you'd get clocked by a sister. Hard, too.
Is this football or hockey? I've seen hockey games. I've seen hockey games where they just ram into people. Just a brawl.
Yeah, the sisters are playing.
Like, people say football is violent. Oh, God, have you watched a match of hockey?
Well, the sisters are playing it like it's hockey, and I think that's so cool. But to survive it, it is really genuinely difficult. This is for the special forces of the Imperium, and... when you leave and you're granted the ability, the title, to be a commissar, there is a lot of responsibility to that. Obviously, you want to weed out anyone who's kind of dodgy with it. Because at the end of the day, the commissars aren't in charge, per se. They're this weird unit that exists in parallel with the regular command structure. And what its job is to keep the command structure going as it should. And if any cog there screws up, shoot it and replace it. That's a commissar. They could walk in, shoot your commanding officer. I'm in charge now. And you can't say anything.
They weren't working hard enough for the glory of the Imperium.
Oh, dude. Commissars can be... this is an example of a commissar. There's this regiment of the Guard fighting off a tendril of the Hive Fleet. It's not great. The Imperium is sending them orders, but for some reason they're not following it. And they're like, well, go find out what's going on. The commissar arrives. Turns out the warp is screwing it up. The orders aren't getting there at all. And then they all get there at once. And the commissar at gunpoint tells them, follow them all as they have arrived. The planet doesn't survive a month after that. But it does go to show how insane they are. So you can see why, A, you don't want to just make anyone a commissar. But B, it's already impressive that he is one. Just the fact that he is one shows some level of competence.
He's not just a guy. He mm-hmm. is still a very powerful and very talented guy.
Mm-hmm. But that's one of the things, like you mentioned, very lucky, failing upwards. That is kind of true to an extent, but I feel like it does get lost in kind of the mythos that is, because the thing about Kane I love so much is he's kind of developed this own mythos around him. In our world, as much as in his world too, it's so cool. But a lot of it makes him seem less competent than he actually is. There are times commissars will challenge him and then look at how worn his chainsword is.
Oh, and then go, okay.
Never mind.
Can I pull out?
Yeah, can I? And he's
You
he's,
said to the death?
Yeah.
Oh. Oh, no.
Yeah, no, and this isn't just his combat skill too. There are multiple situations where a regular commissar would have made things worse, but Kane didn't, because he will genuinely try not to shoot the people he's commanding, try to work things out with them, and try to find a very amicable solution where they all like him and like each other. Mostly because they're less likely to die in that way.
And then by proxy, he's less likely to die.
If they like...
I've seen, I think it's from Dawn of War, a clip of a commissar just going, you're like 1 foot out of rank. Where did you learn how to do this, soldier? And then he just shoots him.
Yeah, on the tabletop, they can do that. They can, It's just allowed. And Kane is a rarity among commissars because he... Well, not a rarity. It's not like every commissar is a psychopath who's shooting people as they want. They just can't. Kane understands that. They all have guns, too. And I'm not bulletproof. And there's also Tyranids. And there's also orcs and Necrons. I'd rather they like me, if only because... You know, I can at least sneak out the back.
They may take the bullet for me. Who knows?
Exactly. He's noted as being a very crack shot, too. Very good with his chainsword, being good enough to beat Space Marines.
Whoa, what?
Yeah.
Yo.
Okay, now to be fair, there's a blank to the left of him.
Okay.
There's a very smelly blank to the left
of him. Yeah, the world's smelliest man. Yes,
there's a very... But however, he is still described as having... this instinctual kind of knowledge for that. It's the kind of thing where, oh no, you were talented at this. Like, yeah, sure. Does he have help? Yes. He is still very competent and competent enough to have beaten orc war bosses, demon princes, coordinate space marines in melee combat twice. Yeah. Back to back. Okay, huh. Not back to back, but he's done it twice. And he's a person.
That's a guy.
And you see why, okay, yeah, sure, he's getting lucky, but he's also very competent.
It's like he's getting lucky on top of what he's already good at.
Exactly. And that's before we even mentioned Jurgen, the very smelly blank to his left. When Kane first chose that assignment to be in the artillery, please keep me away from everything, please, that's when he met Jurgen, who was this very smelly fellow. This is not a joke. He smells awful, and this is something Kane uses to his advantage to this day, because he's Kane's personal aide. He's his right-hand man, who's also kind of like the bodyguard of his schedule. And so, oh, do you want to go talk to Kane? I really must want to talk to Kane, because I have to talk to
I have to go through the world's smelliest man to get to him. I have to
a walking sewage plant.
That's rancid.
Yeah, and... Part of it could be he has awful hygiene because he does come from an ice world. And because I love 40K, I love how specific things get. If you're from an ice world, you don't sweat as much, obviously. And the one time they're in a blizzard together, Kane notes, I can't smell Jurgen.
His stench is gone.
Which is a very big thing. And also it explains why Jurgen has kept food on his person for months at a time and been surprised that it rotted.
Like a pack rat.
Well, yeah, but think about it. If I throw a ham sandwich in my pocket and it's 5 below, I don't know.
I mean, hell.
It's good.
I put water bottles on my back porch because it's not below freezing usually, but it's below refrigerator temps.
Yeah.
It's better to put them in that or out there than in the refrigerator.
And so that's one explanation for why he smells so bad. Explanation two is he's a blank. And quick and dirty on blanks, they suppress the warp, which everything is connected to. So effectively, they kind of have no soul, and everyone with a soul can feel it. And it comes in very different ways, and it usually is this, like, gut revulsion. I don't want to be around you in any capacity.
Which I can assume could probably manifest as stinky.
You smell awful. He could also just be awful because, A, since a kid, nobody ever wanted to be around him. So it's like,
and so nobody ever told him, dude, put some deodorant on.
Dude, yo, you get the taint too. You have to. You have to when you shower.
That's disgusting. True, but disgusting.
Because you have to remember when...
Of all of the words I thought I was going to hear today on this video, taint was not one of them. And now you've heard it twice. Congratulations.
It's not something that you come with from the womb knowing. Somebody has to tell you. You know? And when a blank is born, genuinely there are stories of, like, mothers giving birth to blanks and everyone is howling in agony suddenly. Because it's this void of, we are all connected to something, we are all alive, we all have a soul, that thing is smothering it. That thing is actively smothering it. I don't.
Everybody in the room immediately disassociates for no reason and is like, why? Oh God, it's that thing.
Yeah,
put my soul back.
Mothers will straight up off their own kids. It's that. Being a blank and making it to adulthood is pretty impressive and will usually leave you with some jacked up tendencies because nobody ever socialized with you.
You were not socialized properly.
And nobody ever tells you you're a blank too.
Yeah.
Because the Imperium loves its secrets. They love their secrets. And also, Psykers aren't really running around, and a psyker is the best way to tell someone is a blank, because me and you are near a blank. Oh, that's very uncomfortable. I don't want to be near you. A psyker is near a blank, they're howling in agony.
They're done.
If the blank is powerful enough, I'm talking like the full-blown, like, nosebleed. It can get gnarly quick for a psyker near a blank. So that is his right-hand man. That is the man you have to go through if you want to talk to Cain.
So be ready to have your soul sucked out, literally, and smell the worst thing you've ever smelled if you want to talk to this guy.
I love it because in most of the pictures of Cain, you have him sitting there square-jawed, looking heroic, and you see this hobo, like, right behind him, who's always dressed, like, effectively like a Russian soldier. And it's so funny. It's in almost every bit of Cain art, you will see Jurgen right
there. He's somewhere in the background.
I love it so much, but he is a big part of Cain's success because, I'll be real, demons and cornate space marines are no joke. But if you put a wet blanket next to them in the form of a blank,
they get a little bit weaker.
It gets weak enough that Cain, a very, very talented swordsmen can deal with it suddenly.
They're a little bit more manageable.
Plus, it's not like Jurgen's just sitting there. He's force-feeding them a melter. Like, he is doing stuff, too. He loves that thing, by the way. That is his first... He's a very simple man. He's a very simple man. So, like, Cain will tell him, hey, we need to break into the compound, and he'll burn a hole through the wall. It's the quickest way in.
Just why not?
Cain wanted to get into the compound.
Let's just put a hole through the wall.
There's now a new door for Cain.
There's now a straight line between A and B.
Mm-hmm. He really loves his gig, too. Like, he will carry Kane's luggage around and be upset if somebody else is doing it. Because he's like, no, that's my job.
What a guy.
And you're doing it wrong.
What a guy.
So, yes, the walking sewage plant will be telling you to put the luggage down. I've got this. I love Cain so much. And on top of Cain's aim being fantastic, Jurgen's aim is also fantastic. And if all that wasn't enough to show why Cain keeps getting away with what he keeps getting away with, he has what he describes as an innate sense of direction. He cannot get lost.
Jurgen can't, or Cain can't?
Cain cannot.
He has a compass in his head.
Pretty much. He was born in a hive city, deep, deep down in a hive city.
And so he had to know where he was going to get around.
Yeah, he was born in like 3 New York stacked on top of each other levels of convoluted.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah. And on top of all that, too, he's genuinely really likable, albeit a pathological liar, so he's putting on the best face for you.
You don't know if he's talking to you with a mask on or not.
Mm-hmm. But he's able to keep up conversation with the most high-ranking patricians out there, to like your average guardsman who just got drafted yesterday. And he's able to keep up with them both in equal measure. Because think about it, you know, like, rich people love being around war heroes, so Cain knows what to say to them, and obviously, I've been taken from my mom, and I'm 18, and I just have a gun in my hands now. What do I do? Oh my god, it's Superman himself, hero of the Imperium. You know? Like, Cain knows the role to play whenever he needs to, and he is truly good at it. He never gives himself enough credit, though. Because in his memoirs, you'll see this massive battle happening, and Cain will, like, remark, it's really odd how well they were fighting this time. Usually the guardsmen are not this competent, at least not when I'm looking at the reports. And then the person annotating, who we'll get to, the person annotating his memoirs will go, you idiot. It's because they were next to the hero of the Imperium. How did you not know the effect you have on people?
I would imagine falling upwards would lead to an absolute, just debilitating sense of imposter syndrome.
Oh, he's got it bad.
Yeah.
Oh, it's really rough. He truly does not believe that he deserves his position, but then you see some of the stuff he's done, and it's like, well, only you could have done that, dude. Like, for example, there are these two regiments that suffered horrific losses, basically half each, all gone overnight. One's all female, one's all male, one's used to combat far, 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 far away, so they're not really used to seeing the enemy up close. One is used to really, really CQB, I see the enemy all the time, I'm used to this, I get covered in blood and guts on a daily basis.
I am in there like swimwear.
Right? They're very diametrically opposed units, and because the Imperium doesn't really care about that, they only care about the numbers, like, merge them into one.
They just mash them together?
Mm-hmm. Most commissars would have not been able to deal with the ensuing chaos.
Because that's a lot to deal with.
Oh, and the worst thing is, technically speaking, the one from the regiment that's super duper far away hasn't really seen combat has been in that regiment for 3 days longer than the one who's actually seen combat. So they got the promotion, not the other one. Yeah, so not great. Hmm. It gets to the point of a full bore riot. And because, well, if they're rioting, what if the Tyranids show up and I die? Kane fixes this situation.
Because he has to.
Yeah, and it's not through corporal punishment either. It's just like, oh, you have to clean the latrine. Like, he finds very creative yet bad punishments that do not involve a chainsword or a lasgun, which is an incredible amount of restraint from a man who could use both and nobody would question him. On top of all of that, he changes the name by combining the numbers of their two regiments into one. Brilliant maneuver. And reassigning things so that the combat-based ones actually got to stand out and shine, whereas the less combat-trained ones, you know, got to work together and get up to that specification. He was so good at this that he went from having to resolve fist fights in, like, latrines to, can you guys stop having kids? We are in the middle of a battlefield right now. Jesus! Stop! Yeah, he started running like the Maury Popovich show, basically. Because it was lovers' quarrels now.
Oh.
And only Kane.
Oh, God.
And only Kane could have turned it around to such a comical degree. And this is something he's done. He has the streak of being more lenient than he has to be. And he has had to execute people before.
I would figure. He's still a commissar.
And he's lived a very long life, too.
Yeah.
So he's had to execute people before. And it does stick with him. He has to execute these people from a planetary defense force who actively were detrimental to his mission. They weren't the first people he's killed. He's done this 101 times. However, they were the first ones who did not deserve to die.
Mm.
Because they were very zealous. They were doing a good job of fighting against a commissar. That is not something that the Imperium will let stand.
Yeah.
They did not recognize what that uniform they were fighting actually meant.
Hmm.
And so he did have to do his gig, if not for him, but for the uniform he wears. And it haunts him to this day. He loses sleep over that. Because they truly just didn't know they were shooting at a, like, United States Marine, basically.
He was in plain clothes. I couldn't tell.
No, he was still in full bore uniform. But you have to remember, this is a planetary defense force from some backwater planet.
Oh, they don't know. They just haven't seen this. They literally have never seen
this. They're not used to it. Why would a commissar be here? I know a space marine. I can't miss that. But some dude in a fun red hat, whatever.
Okay. I can understand.
Yeah. And this is a trend with him specifically, where he has seen a lot of horrifying things. He has fought the Tyranids. He has fought the Tau. He has fought the Orcs. He has fought the Necrons. He has fought Chaos. Every variant. From horny to hungry, he's fought them all.
Is that every single...
He's fought everything that the Imperium is opposed against.
Wow.
And survived. He's impressive!
That is genuinely impressive.
He's also lucky! It happens, you know?
You can have both.
I think it's Jefferson, kind of, who said, I'm going to get lambasted if it's not Jefferson, where it's like, I find myself to be a very lucky individual. The more I do, the luckier I get, is that kind of thing. Where it's like, yeah, Kane is clearly lucky, but he's also very competent and always in the right place. So is he really lucky, or is he just trained enough to handle whatever happens to him? You know? And so he doesn't really get too much PTSD despite fighting all of that. However, he does tend to get stuck up on, like, the fact that he has lived a very long life. He has seen many guardsmen, and it does stick with him that there are names and faces that only he knows now.
Oh.
He made it through those fights.
Yeah. I would imagine the Survivor's Guilt is brutal.
Astronomical.
Absolutely brutal.
Mm-hmm.
Oof.
And he's lived for a couple hundred years.
Yeah, and so that's a lot of names.
And these are people who see, oh my god, it's Kane, hero of the Imperium. I'll lay down my life every day. They actively fight harder when he's around. Meaning
considering,
they do fall faster.
Considering the scale of 40K, too,
mm-hmm.
I... I gotta wonder, does he literally have his own, like, put it into scale, 9/11 memorial wall in his head that only he can see?
Yeah.
Jesus.
I would not be surprised if he has his own kind of, like, a just cemetery full of names and faces of young men and women who went to the front lines, served under Kane, died under Kane. Nobody else knew.
And nobody knew.
No.
Just him.
Just him.
God, that sounds awful.
And so Kane will always say in all of his memoirs that he's, you know, I'm just trying to play the humble imperial hero, but the Inquisitor who's editing them will always go, no, there's some imposter syndrome and some survivor's guilt going on here that he just refuses to address no matter what.
He's actually really good, guys. Don't listen to what he has to say.
No, he is. You look at the actions. Look at the fact that he beat coordinate berserkers back to back. Dude. I don't care what you have to the left of you.
It's not, oh, don't listen to what he has to say. Just look at what he's done. Mm-hmm. No, he's just not selling himself very well.
Yeah. Also, I do love all of the things he's fought. The Necrons are the ones that horrified him the most.
They're the most not human. The Tyranids.
He's been captured by Dark Eldar. Yeah.
And the Necrons scared him the most?
You have to remember, the Necrons are kind of like the winners. If all the Necron were awake right now... Okay, to give you a sense of scale,
yeah.
It wasn't just, oh, I'm fighting the Necrons, this is great. It is, this world is weird, I'm exploring it. Why is this Tomb World awakening?
Why is everything green now?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-oh. Yeah. Uh-oh.
It's at one... It's yeah. He made it out of there, too.
Mm-hmm.
Competence. He's very competent.
So it was literally just the... We haven't seen a half of what power is here in the galaxy, and it just... Oh, he had, like, a cosmic horror moment of, like, I don't understand this, and I can't.
Yeah.
That frightens me.
Yeah, a little bit of that, yeah. Usually what will happen in Kane's assignments is he's here to fight one thing, and then another thing will show up, and then Kane has to 1v1 the leadership to make it happen.
Then another thing will show up.
No, it's usually just... The cycle of Kane's life, and this is why I say you don't want to read the books all in one sitting, because... You do start to notice the cycle a bit. It's a good cycle. I do like it. However, it's like sitting on a roller coaster all day. It's going to get old fast. But if you go to it like every three rides, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Right? Usually it'll be like, oh yeah, I'm here to fight the Tau. And then, oh, there's a Tyranid invasion.
Hmm.
And usually it's him fleeing from the Tau and he discovers a Tyranid invasion. And now he has to deal with that situation.
Why not both?
Yeah. Why not both? or a lot of the time he will be the one, the other way his stories usually shake out is because commissars have access to quite a bit of information that not many people do have, he will be able to assess a situation far better than anyone else will be. And so, for example, there's this planet he's on, and it's facing this zombie plague, and everyone's like, the undead are coming back. This is odd, but we will keep firing at them. And he's the one who recognizes... There's some warp chicanery going on here. And he has the 40K idea of loading artillery shells with blessed vaccines and firing them across enemy lines. That's right, baby. Let me tell you right now, by the way, COVID would not have stood a chance if we used artillery on it.
It's reverse Mongolian siege tactics.
Yeah. Like... He's genuinely a very good... there's a time Jurgen gets trapped behind orc lines and Kane is able to rally random civilians, the Planetary Defense Force, and a bunch of other people to form a cohesive assault and get to Jurgen.
And they succeeded?
It became known as the March of the Liberator, so yeah, he succeeded.
Just a bunch of swords to plowshares or plowshares to swords farmers.
Yes! This is why I love Kane.
Wow.
And in the whole time, he's got this, like, humble but not humble but deeply insecure vibe going on of like, oh, no, I didn't mean it. Please don't heap the laurels onto me. I don't deserve any of this. I don't deserve any of this. I don't deserve any of this. And that's... And he can't show that to anyone.
He's trying to play humble brag, but secretly the humble brag itself is even a mask for, oh, God, no.
I get another horrific assignment after this. Yay.
Where am I going next? Oh no.
Oh, you want to know where he went next?
Where did he go next?
The 13th Black Crusade. to face a Chaos leader who had the title of the Undefeatable.
Mm-hmm.
I love Kane's life. It's such a win spiral that he's upset about, frankly. He would have been so happy being a footnote in history. He really would have been. Because there are commissars who just file battle reports. That's it.
They're just the paper pushers.
He just gets to sit back, drink his disgusting tea. Oh, I didn't mention that. There's this brand of tea he really likes that must be harvested from ice caverns that he describes as delicate. And the people who've tasted it have said, if you describe that as delicate, you would describe a Baneblade tank as dainty. Which, yeah, it's not pleasant. But yeah, Kane, ideally, filing battle reports, drinking tea. That's it. And to be fair, he would be pretty good at that. Just showing up, oh, your boots are shined properly. Okay, moving on. But no, instead, he has to go to the 13th Black Crusade, fight somebody known as the Undefeatable, who, to be fair, he wasn't a space marine. He was just like a super augmented human, but still. And his job there was to grab this thing that could turn people into psychers. And it's Kane's job to recover it because he's the hero of the Imperium.
Oh my god.
That is a job so hard, space marine should have been sent to do it.
Yeah.
Notice how it was Kane who was sent to do it.
It was Kane who was sent to do it.
Yep.
Jesus Christ.
And
I can see why he gets so, mm-hmm. so in his head about all of this. Mm-hmm. Why do I keep winning? And oh God, why do they keep sending me on more?
Yep, he won the 1v1, kicked him off a building. Didn't get the device, though, sadly. Unfortunate. But his skin was saved because the Necrons wound up with it. Because like I said, he usually goes to fight one thing, a third thing shows up. It's always how it goes. The Necrons show up, they run off with it, and the Inquisitor does not kill him immediately over that. Because him and this Inquisitor named Amberly Vale have a weird on and off again thing going on. And so she is very reasonable too. Like Kane, she is more understanding than most people in her position would be. And so she does a quick calculus of, okay, the Necrons have it. It's not great. But they're also soulless beings who don't like psychers anyway. They're probably not going to use the thing.
Do they even know what a psyker is? Do they know just by feeling that it turned someone into a psyker?
And it's better they have it than Chaos Undivided. So, sure, whatever. And that's just what keeps happening in his life. He's been in battle after battle after battle. And usually it is him, Jurgen, and Vale who sent him on the mission or is there with them on the mission. And I really love how him and Vale met because he was sent to this planet to basically make sure its defenses were set up properly because it's a far-off world and they didn't want to have to reinforce it. And Kane's good at dealing with people, so send Kane to do it. He's a hero of the Imperium. Nobody questions him.
And he'll get that done real quick.
And while he's there, he finds this lounge singer who's living in the governor's office, and, you know, they have a dance, and he decides to try and show off for her, and he's like, you know, I've unraveled what's going on this planet here, and I think that there's an Inquisitor deployed here. By the way, he didn't unravel this. A friend of his unraveled it. He's now telling this to the Inquisitor, who's undercover as the lounge singer. And so he effectively shows her that he has no capability of keeping state secrets.
No filter.
Because apparently, whenever he encounters a woman, he just can't help but show off. To be fair, the feeling is somewhat mutual. He does not get murdered for this. And they wind up having this fun relationship where she, as an Inquisitor, is very good about seeing through people. And even though Kane is a master manipulator and a man of many faces, she's an Inquisitor. She can see through it all. So whenever there's a mission coming up and Kane's like, oh, but I can't handle it. Oh, you know, there's this, I have to do this. She's one of the few people who can cut right through it and go, no, you can handle it. Go deal with it. And Kane just has to,
yeah, I guess. Fine.
Fine. And then he has
whatever,
to
whatever, mom.
Me, mommy is more accurate. She is the one who...
That's disgusting.
What? It's true.
That's disgusting.
She's the one who is the reason we have the books that we have today, because she's the one who's editing his memoirs. Kane is no longer around. And so...
Sad. Sad day.
And so as an Inquisitor, because she has access to all the knowledge that Inquisitors do, she's one of the, and also served with Kane quite a bit, she's taken quite literally years of her life to edit them properly and then publish them so that we can read them. And there's a lot of footnotes from her. And while she's not present in every single story, she does have notes in most of them, and she adds so much to the enjoyment of these books that you cannot have them without her. She also loves cutting right before things happen, if you catch my drift. Because it'll be like her and Kane talking and having a drink, and then no need to go any further from here. He just kept on rambling. We cut everything. It's unnecessary. And it's like, oh, really?
Really?
Interesting. Hmm. It's a third cut like this I've seen.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And also, to be fair, Kane, these are written like memoirs. You do get all of his thoughts. And some of them are like, okay, there's no two ways about it. The Psyker in Vale's company apparently is very well endowed. And I normally would not mention something like that, but it's mentioned every time Kane sees her. Like, every time Kane sees her. So you have to think they're unimaginable. Because, no, deep this.
They're a Psyker. Can't they hear his thoughts?
This is a man who has lived for 200 plus years. And they're so incredible, he has to mention it every time. Without fail.
What the hell?
It's his memoirs. You're going to see stuff like that.
He turns into that one meme of, I've got this new anime idea for you. Every time. Without fail.
Yeah. No, it comes up more than once. So you'll definitely encounter that as you read the book.
Ugh, what a lech.
And she is, I mean, yeah, Kane is one of the characters in canon shags. No debate about it.
For sure. Nobody in the Imperium does but Kane.
Okay, the Emperor definitely did.
Did he?
No, he's a workaholic. Probably not. We'll let them decide. We'll let them decide. But yeah, Kane currently is not dead.
Not dead?
Not dead.
Not dead. I thought you said he was not with us.
He's not. But according to Imperial records, he's not dead.
Oh.
This is because so many times throughout Kane's life, he has been declared killed in action and then come back, that the Imperium legally will not recognize his death.
They don't want to have to do the paperwork.
No, he just keeps coming back. With the administration's luck, they'd register him as killed in action, and then he'd come back 5 minutes later.
I'm like, God, I just filed that paperwork. Really?
Mm-hmm.
Could you? fine.
And also, he is properly getting worshipped as a saint in the Imperium by some people. So, as we all know, gods in 40K work in a very fun way where it's belief-based, and there's more and more people with each passing day that think Kane was a living saint, so
eventually he might just
get those respawns and
become one.
Man, wouldn't that be funny?
That'd be hilarious.
Man, wouldn't that be funny?
That'd be so hilarious.
I mean, even in death, there's duty end, but not for Kane. I really hope he gets the same raw deal that Celestine has, because if you don't know, Celestine is this, it's the angelic, you see her in almost all of 40k art. It's this woman in solid gold armor, angelic wings. She usually looks great in all of it. She's one of the strongest female characters in all of 40k. She regularly beats very difficult things with ease. She does die, though.
Unfortunate.
Very often. And the way she responds is she has to climb atop a pile of her own dead bodies. And each time she dies, that pile gets bigger. As well as a bunch of other stuff she has to do. It's not easy.
Good story writing. Mm-hmm. Ooh, horrifying situation.
Right, it's really not easy. She has to encounter like a child version of herself. It's a mess. It's really tough stuff. I would love Kane to get that raw deal too. I would really love Kane to get that raw deal too. But, however, he is dead. Probably. Vale and him were really close. Some people think that she faked his death. An Inquisitor can fake a death. They do it all the time. And Kane would want to retire at some point. It's Kane. Come on. But as far as we're concerned, he's dead, but can never be declared so. and all we have of him is his datapad that is constantly being edited by Amber Lee Vale and organized too, because some of his stuff is incoherent. However, he is easily one of my favorite characters, and because of the nature of the datapad, we're not all the way through it, so we may get more Kane books.
Just because of, out of sheer, hey, there's more stuff in here.
Mm-hmm, there's more stuff in here. There's oh yeah, we couldn't have told the story before, but now we can unredact it. So it's fun. I do like it. It adds a good bit of humor to 40K, and I would honestly prefer it if he stayed past, in my opinion. Just because I like the completed story of this guy who kept becoming the snowball of success, basically, that was unstoppable towards the end there.
Yeah.
But genuinely so. It wasn't just like, oh, yeah, look at this chain of luck that's been going for so long. No, it's this chain of luck behind it. Very, very prepared individual. Very, very prepared individual.
He was already like a really, really competent guy. Mm-hmm. On top of all of the luck he's getting given.
He's the embodiment of the axiom where it's like, I don't believe in luck, but I find I get luckier the more I go out and do things. And Kane goes out and does so many things. But what did you think of him?
I really, really like him. Again, it comes back to the, I really like to see what an average, well, not average, but a human, an average Humi is doing in this universe. And it is what I'd be doing, running away.
And I'll be fair to Kane. A lot of the things Kane is assigned to fight, even early on in his career, I'd be hanging back too.
Yeah.
I'd be assessing the situation.
I see a Tyranid off in the distance. No, fuck that.
I see a Hive Tyrant. Thank you. And to be fair, he doesn't even know Jurgen's a blank until pretty late in his life. So he just thinks, oh God, how'd I beat that thing? And I don't think I could do that a second time. Like, the half the stuff he's fought, I would see and call in an airstrike.
I'm going the other direction.
Yeah. I'm not getting involved. I am
turning right around, mm-hmm. And I'm running.
And the guy billed as a penultimate coward in 40K is also the guy who regularly 1v1s some of the hardest things to 1v1. And will do it. He won't run away. Like, part of the reason he has the reputation he has as hero of the Imperium is because he guarded it aggressively. He was constantly, I don't want to do this, but I will regardless. And that's what I think true courage is.
I don't want to do this, but this needs to happen.
Mm-hmm. True courage isn't like, oh, you know, I'm not afraid. I fear nothing. No, it's being afraid and doing it anyway.
Yeah.
I'm mortified. My boots are shaking. It doesn't change what I'm going to do. I'm going to go there, and one of you want to coronate Berserker. I'm the hero of the Imperium, I guess.
I got to keep that reputation up.
Mm-hmm.
If this is what does it, then okay, I guess. This, sure.
It's either I do it or 10 other people die. Well, it's more like 100 before Kane intervenes. Well, like 1,000. It's a lot, but there is a point where he will stop. But that does bring an end to our episode on Kane. You still have the two options, the Abhumans and the Dark Eldar. Make your voices heard. No, there will be no turtle episode.
No turtle episode?
I've been seeing people requesting that. I've been seeing people request episodes, not 40K, in quite large numbers, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
Maybe one might come.
Not on turtles, though.
On turtles?
Most likely on cars.
Oh.
Most likely on cars. Or Dune.
Are we talking about Turtles the animal?
Yes, Turtles the animal. Or tortoises, is what you mentioned last episode.
Oh.
Yes, you caused this.
Offhand comment caused an entire tortoise-themed episode.
I don't think it's going to happen, but we'll see. You know what? Leave that in the comments, too. Would you like to see more different things? It would not interfere with this 40K at all. It would just be an addition to.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It would be fun to do other topics as well.
Oh, dude. I could go on for hours about cars. Hours. Ugh. If you can give me another reason to vent at him for hours at a time about a different topic. Dude, we can get to it. Like all the way from the beginning of the 9/11 when they had to put lead weights in the very, very front up to today. Don't get me started. Regardless, yeah, the thing was horrifically off balance in the beginning. They put the engine in the trunk.
We're going to go off on a tangent. We need to end this video.
It's true. It took a while for it to get good. Regardless. Thank you so much for tuning into this episode. And as always, thank you for being you.